And take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, and turn to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. The book of Colossians, chapter number 3. And we're going to look at this passage for a few minutes this morning. And I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for all that He does for us. He blesses us each and every day. And you know, I'm thankful for my Bible. We started this past Wednesday on Bible preservation. And we'll be continuing to look at that over the next few weeks. And if you missed Wednesday night on Bible preservation, I know I preached along those lines of the first of the year, but I went into a lot more detail this past Wednesday night. If you missed that, it's on our website. Go back and look at it. You need to know not only that the King James Bible is the Word of God, but you need to know why. Amen? And I believe it by faith. I believe by faith it's the perfect and inerrant Word of God, but the Lord has also given us verses that we can take, and there's the manuscript evidence. We began to look at some of those things on Bible preservation. And the reason you need to believe there's a Bible that is perfect, that's God's Word, is because it needs to be your final authority. If you use whatever you want to use, you're the final authority. And no matter what I preach and no matter what the book says, you're not going to take it for face value because you don't know if it's right or not. Amen? And so we believe the Bible is the perfect and inerrant Word of God. We do. The King James Bible believes what God gave us. Colossians chapter 3. If I told you Romans, it's Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 23. I'm going to read one verse, and then I want to give you some thoughts. We're going to stay in this passage, maybe turn to one other place this morning, and give you something. God laid this verse heavy on my heart this morning. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 23. Bible says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I want to say this morning as a way of introduction to the message that we're living in a day today where it is hard to stay motivated about the things of God. And not just about the things of God. It's hard to stay motivated about any aspect of the Christian life. It's a difficult time to stay motivated about that. That's why it's extremely hard for a person that's saved to live a Christian life or one that pleases God when they're not faithful to church. It's hard to live a life that pleases the Lord whenever you don't read your Bible every day. It's hard to be able to try to stay motivated to do right and to raise your family right if you're not faithful and you're not reading your Bible, because we're living in a day and age today, and I know it's been this way for a while, but it's gotten worse and worse and worse, that it's hard to stay motivated to do something for God. This verse here says that whatever we do, we're to do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And it's easy to do maybe on Sunday mornings when everybody comes in and they're thinking about church, but it's hard to do in the day that we're living in, every day, to get up on Monday, all the way through the week, everything to please the Lord. It's difficult. Maybe there was a time years ago, I know when I was younger, growing up in church, every aspect of my life revolved around the church. Every aspect did. I was homeschooled with a Christian Bible education. I went to revivals. I went to friends' house who were also Christians. I was at church. My entire life revolved around the church. And you know, in that setting, it was easier to stay motivated about doing something for God. We're about to go to youth camp. And I remember when I was young, as soon as I was old enough, began to go to youth camp. And I've been going to youth camp ever since. Amen. Nobody's ever told me, hey, stop going to camp. You're too old. Amen. I've been going to camp. I haven't missed one week of camp since I was probably 9 years old. Matter of fact, I was telling Ella that before she was born, right after Sarah and I got married, it was right after. We got married in December. This was in June. We got into a car accident. We were rear-ended on Highway 78, and airbags went off. She got hurt pretty bad in her neck, and I broke a bone in my wrist. And we get to the hospital. They got a neck brace on her. And that day, I was heading to youth camp. And so I called my aunt who was living up here at the time, and I said, will you come sit with Sarah? I got to go to camp. My wife's laying there in a neck brace. We've only been married 6 months. Looking back, that probably wasn't the wisest move. And I was so shook up about the accident. Brother Matt Malone let me borrow his car. I was so shook up, I filled it up with diesel. The whole time trying to figure out why that stinking nozzle wouldn't fit in the hole. But I made it work, amen? And drove his car full of diesel all the way to camp. And we had to drain it out and do all it was an interesting week. But I wanted to go to camp that bad. And I wasn't even scheduled to preach or anything that week. I just knew what God had done for me at camp. And we're getting ready to leave for that also. But what I'm getting at is during that time of my life when we first got married, we were in Bible school. I mean, we were in church every day of the week. Bible school was at church. And during that time in our life, it seemed a whole lot easier. I'm not saying that everything was easy, but it was a lot easier to serve God, and there was joy in wanting to do something for God. There was zeal and excitement on wanting to do something for God. Then we got out of Bible school, and I got out of my childhood and got out of those things, and then the real world seems like it set in. And now you got to go to work. And now you got to deal with the heathen. And it's worse now than it's ever been. Miss Diane's laughing because I went to work with a heathen. That was several years after Bible school. Amen. I worked with other heathens before that heathen. And so all of a sudden, things start to change in your Christian life. All of a sudden, now things seem to be more difficult. Amen. And I'm getting somewhere in this message. But in the day that we're living in, it seems like it's a whole lot worse than what it was. But it's harder than ever to stay motivated about the things of God. You come to church and you get excited about God. And I pray that we have a church that pleases the Lord. And if we have a church that pleases the Lord, when you sit through a service, you'll leave out of here thinking about Him. And you're excited about doing something for God, excited about serving God, and praise the Lord for it. But as soon as you walk out the door, and as soon as you go and get up Monday, and as soon as you go to work, or as soon as you get in your car, or as soon as you go to a grocery store, all that is ready to be snatched away. You'll hear one song at a gas station. Or you'll see one article on a newspaper or on a magazine. And immediately, all of a sudden, we begin to think about different things other than serving and pleasing God. That's just the day we're living in. That's just the day that we're living in. Notice the different groups that is dealt with here in the book of Colossians chapter number 3. We see a few things. So this verse comes right after he addresses the members of a family. And families make up a church. Colossians chapter 3 and we're going to look at all of them, not necessarily in the order they're here, but in the order of the pecking order here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, we find, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Let me read that again. Children, obey your parents in all things. I was quoting Ephesians 6, 1. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Let me ask you this question in the trying to kick off the message here. Children that are in here this morning, and that's all age children, is it difficult for you to obey your parents? Do you find that hard? You know, there's some people that it is an extreme matter just to try to serve the Lord. It's a big deal just to get to church. It's a major thing, and it's a difficult thing to try to get to church and to try to live right. And there's children today that have a difficult time just trying to obey their parents. It's a struggle. It's hard to stay motivated in obeying your parents. And the Bible here tells us to children, obey your parents in all things. Not just the things that you're happy with. To obey your parents in all things. Children, that's the command that God's given you. And I'm telling you what, if you think that's hard, wait till you're an adult and have more responsibility. There's people today that are raising brats, amen? And then they're out holding signs and protesting and burning down things. They were never told no and never disciplined. Obeying your parents is not just in front of their face, it's all the time. In addition to obeying your parents, we're living in a day-to-day where there's so much pressure on young people. There's pressure on them to be popular. I don't think young people ought to have anything to do with social media. Y'all have heard me preach that before. There's so much pressure on young people to be popular, to get likes, to see how many times the like button will be hit, to see all these things. There's so much pressure put on it. And I'm telling you what, children, this morning, does it ever seem like it's a struggle? Does it ever seem like it's hard? Has any young people in here this morning? I know I did when I was younger at times. Man, it was just a struggle to try to do school. It was a struggle to try to do right. It was a struggle to try to get along with your siblings. I know at any given point, siblings are going to argue and fuss. But we're dealing with an age today now where there's children that it is a struggle for them to obey their parents. They might do it because they have to, but it's a struggle. It's a struggle for them to do anything. It's a struggle for them to try to keep the room clean. I know all kids have these problems. I'm talking about in their heart and in their mind, they're having a hard time doing it. Y'all stay with me. I'm getting somewhere. We find another party, another individual in the home there in verse number 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, wife and mother, is submitting to your husband a struggle? Is it a hard thing for you to submit to your husband? Everybody was amening on the kids pretty hard. Is it a struggle? Is it a hard thing? Is it a hard thing to obey and submit to your husband when you think that he's an idiot? Is it a hard thing to obey and submit to your husband when you know you're right? I'm asking some questions this morning. We're going to find the answers here in a minute. Is it a hard thing? Do you have a hard time obeying and submitting to your husband when you don't understand? Is it hard? Is it a struggle? Kids, they struggle obeying their parents. Wives, they submitting to their own husbands. We have wives today that they find somebody's opinion on social media and they respect that higher than they do their husbands. Well, this Dr. So-and-so over here says this is what we ought to do. And your husband says, I feel like this is what God is telling us to do. Is that a struggle for you? Amen. I'll amen myself. Wives, is raising your children, is that a struggle? I'm getting somewhere with all this. You said, I hope so. We got a lot of homeschool parents in here, and thank God for it. That's the only way I'd have it. The government, it's not their job to raise your children. Amen. And I know there's hard times, man, and it's hard, but I'm telling you what, it is not their job, and they have an indoctrination that they want to do to your children. I read an article in Fox News today where there was a first grade teacher that was fired for, I'm not going to go into any, I can't even mention what he was teaching first graders. Go look on Fox News. Don't let your kids look at it, but adults, go look on Fox News. It was one of the headlines. A teacher fired for teaching first graders, and go look what it is. It'll bother you. It bothered me. The school didn't condone it. They fired that guy. Thank God. But they're allowing a lot of other things. But you say, what do I mean? I mean, you put your kids in that kind of situation, you never know what pervert's in there teaching your kids. Amen. So we got a lot of homeschool moms, and thank God for it. But let me ask you this. Is it a struggle? I know at times that it can be hard. I'm trying to get something across here, and I hope I'm not confusing you. I know at times it's all these things can be difficult, but I'm talking about in your heart, in your mind, are you struggling to get through some of this stuff every day? Not, I had a bad day, but thank God I get to do it. I'm talking about it's just a pure struggle every day. To obey your husband every day, to submit to him, to raise children. Maybe he's off work and trying to pay the bills and you're at home and you just get sick and tired of actually doing that every day. And it's a real struggle. There's people struggling today. That's why I say when you go out in public to Walmart or a fast food place, don't be too harsh on people. You have no clue what they're going through. You don't know what that little teenage girl's in there. You don't know what her stepdad's doing to her. You don't know what's going on in that home. Have a little compassion. There's people that are struggling, but I'm talking to Christians this morning. I read an illustration this morning, again, in Fox News. For those that wondered, I read the Bible first. Listen to this. This is just this morning. I got this off of there. A deranged Brooklyn mom, tired of being by herself, allegedly tossed her newborn baby, 4 weeks old, daughter, and her two-year-old son out of a second-floor apartment window. This happened yesterday, Saturday morning. And then dove out herself and continued her crazed attack. The article goes on to say she was beating that four-week-year-old baby girl's head against the concrete. It happened at 11:20 a.m. yesterday morning. Thankfully, a neighbor went over there and disrupted it and took those two kids away from that crazy woman. But when they said, "Why did you do this?" she just said, "I'm tired of dealing with it." Now, if she's lost and don't know God, she has no hope. But there's Christian women today and Christian children today that get to the point where they say, "I'm tired of dealing with it." It happens every day. In April, this is the second time in less than 2 months in New York City that something similar has happened. In April, there was a lady by the name of Kilpatrick was arrested for allegedly trying to poison her six-week-old boy and girl and then scalded and stabbed them to death. Second time. When they asked her, the investigators asked this 23-year-old mom, she said, "I can't take it no more." Now, I can't imagine any moms in here doing that. I can't imagine any mom, period, doing that. And if you're saved in here this morning or you're a woman and have children, you can't imagine anybody doing that. But I'm telling you, there's some that just say, "I'm struggling being a Christian mom. It is a struggle for me to obey my husband, to submit to him. It's a struggle for me to raise my children right. It's just a struggle." There's children that are struggling this morning. We're about to go to camp, and I promise there'll be young people there that are struggling just to obey their parents. First Thessalonians 4:13 says, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope." I'm glad I have hope this morning. And mama, you better be glad you know God, because you're capable of doing this. There's another party of the family. Look with me in verse number 19. Y'all still with me? These are the verses right before the text verse we read. Are they not? Are these the verses not right before? "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." Look at the husband and the father. Colossians 3:19. "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Verse 21. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Let me ask you, husbands. Is it a struggle to love your wife the way you're supposed to? Do you have a hard time loving her in the condition and the position that she's in right now? No husband's going to answer, "I understand." And I'm getting somewhere. Stay with me. Is it a struggle? There may be some that say she's unlovable. Amen. Nobody's going to amen. I get it. That's fine. But I'm asking you this morning, is it a struggle sometimes? I'm not talking about having a bad day. I'm talking about your attitude towards your family. Is it a struggle to love her sometimes? Is it difficult to lead your family? Are there days that you get up and go to work and you wonder why? Or maybe you see other relationships or you see other things and you wonder what it would be like. There's Christian men that do it every day. They begin to look at these things and they begin to wonder, do you struggle? Do you struggle loving your wife? Do you struggle? Is it a struggle and it takes everything you have just to communicate with her? I know we're getting down where the rubber meets the road this morning. This is what God gave me when I woke up. Some of y'all wish I'd go back to bed. Is it a struggle? Is it a struggle to communicate with her and to meet her needs? Is that something that we struggle with? Do you have a difficult time going to work to provide for your family? Is it a struggle for you just to get up and maintain your home? You know, there's people that could care less what their home looks like. They don't care if it's in shambles. I think that's a bad testimony. If you live out in the middle of nowhere and nobody can see you, that's one thing. But if you live right on a road where everybody can see you, take care of your house. If they know you're a Christian, you got Jesus Saved sign in the front yard, and amen, there's a car in the backyard that's overgrown with weeds. You know you're a redneck if you mow your grass and find a car you didn't know you had. I know where I'm preaching. I'm in Alabama. I'm just asking, is it a struggle? Is you dealing with your children? Because after all, it's your responsibility, Father. You may delegate that to your wife, the discipline and all that, but it's your responsibility. Is that a struggle? Is it a struggle this morning? Happen to do that? There's times in your life as a father, man, it seems like, or even as a mother, that it seems like every time you turn around, you're having to discipline your children. I've had a mom ask me that before. What do I do? What do I do? I said, keep turning around. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Talk about terrible twos and terrible threes. Those things are real. Amen. But I wonder this morning, Father, is it a struggle to love your wife? Is it a struggle to discipline your children? Is it a struggle? Are your children a burden to you? Do you provoke them to anger? Do you discourage them? Look what that verse says. In verse number 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Man, that's scary. Discouraging your children from doing something for God. In our text verse this morning, verse number 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. We have children. All these things the Bible tells us, and it talks about servants and masters. And I'm not going to get into that this morning. I'm going to stick with fathers and the mothers and the children. But I know the servant-master relationship, we don't have those anymore, but we have employees and employers and all those kind of things. Amen. But right after those verses, it's whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Do you know what all this boils down to? All this thing of the children struggling to obey their parents, wives struggling to submit to their husbands, husbands struggling to love their wives the way they're supposed to. You're doing it all for the wrong reason. It's not that difficult. It's all being done for the wrong reason. You're doing it for the wrong person. You're doing it for the wrong person. This verse talks about doing all these things heartily as if you're doing them and doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Doing it for Him. Not doing it for your husband, not doing it for your wife or your children or for yourself, but doing it to please God Almighty. If your relationship with God and with this book is where it needs to be, you won't struggle to do those things. You might have hard days. You might have difficult days. But at the end of the day, you don't mind just obeying God. You don't mind just pleasing Him. You put up with it and you do those things. And you love your wife because you know it pleases God. You submit to your husband, even when you don't agree with him, because you know it pleases God. And when you do that, when you lay your head on pillow at night, you can sleep with peace in your heart, even if everything isn't perfect. Because why? I spent today trying to please God. I spent today. I submitted to my husband. I love my wife. I obeyed my mom and dad the best I could today. Lord, I pray you are pleased with it. We do it all with the wrong outlook and the wrong, hey, we live in a time today where people are selfish and it's all about me and what pleases me, and all that is a recipe for disaster in the home. Heartily. The dictionary, Webster's 1828 definition, is from the heart. With all the heart. With sincerity. With zeal, actively, vigorously, whole heart, whole soul, and whole mind, heartily. Over and over again, there's scripture throughout the Bible, all through the Old Testament, where they're told to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, over and over and over and over again. That is heartily giving yourself to God. And if these things are going to be successful in a home, with a father, mother, and children, they have to be done as unto the Lord. Amen. To please Him. A good way to think about it is in everything you do in your life, treat it as if you're worshiping God. I'm talking about daily worship, not just showing up on Sunday morning and sticking your hand up or singing Thou Art Worthy. We need to do that corporately. But when you go in your home tomorrow, whenever you get up tomorrow and you get your children up, ladies and men, you get up and go to work, you get up and say, Lord, I'm going to worship you today with my service. I'm going to go to my job. I'm going to get up and I'm going to raise my children as worship to you. All things, doing it heartily as unto the Lord. And get up and you worship Him. You say, my job can worship God? Yes. If you do it for God, it will. If you get up, you say, well, I hate my job. Well, that's the one you have right now. Get up and say, Lord, if this is what you want me to worship you with, God, if you gave me a better job and more money, I could worship you with more money. But this is what I have right now, and I'm going to worship you. And I'm going to give it all to you. Wife, you get up in the morning and you get your kids, and man, maybe one's throwing up and another one's running naked through the neighbor's yard. Or you get up and they're fussing and fighting and kicking each other over a Lego. Say, Lord, I'm going to worship you today. Thank you. Thank you, God, that you gave me these children. Your husband gets home and he's had a bad day at work and you've had a bad day. That's a disaster. But all of a sudden, they both come together and say, you know what, I have had a rough day, but I'm going to love you. You don't have to say it out loud, but sometimes it's good to say it out loud. And the wife can say, I've had a bad day, but I'm going to submit to you. Why? Because I'm worshiping God. Is this all right? That's all I got. In everything you do your best. Because you're doing it to worship God. You're doing it to worship God. Remember that you're doing things for God. You're not doing it for others. The reason why people struggle in their Christian life and to love, submit, and obey all three categories, the reason why you struggle to do it so bad is because you're not doing it for the Lord. You're not doing it to worship God. Amen. Children, obeying your parents in everything is a form of worship to God. And you do it, Marissa, to please the Lord. Amen. I don't like doing that. I don't like picking up the room. I don't like scooping the dog poop. Amen. Get out there and scoop it for the glory of God. Say, Lord, are you pleased with this? Are you pleased with my attitude? I'm telling you, it'll change a lot of homes. And in return, it'll affect the church. Man, it'll change everything. I don't like his decision. I don't understand it. I don't like it. But God, I want to please you. So if he's an idiot, would you kill him? Maybe not that extreme. Lord, would you deal with his heart? He's yours. And you gave him to me. Amen. I prayed for him. I'm telling you, if you get up every day and just try to please the Lord. But you can't do that if you're a two-faced Christian. You can't do any of this stuff if you're just one way at church and another way at home. If you talk sweet to your wife in front of everybody else, but go home and talk to her like she's a dog. Amen? Tell your husband, yes, sir, and yes, Lord, at church, and then cuss him out at home. Amen? The kids get just old enough where they know how to trick people. Man, that's a sweet little girl, sweet little boy. And the parents are rolling their eyes. If you only knew. Amen? A double standard home will wreak havoc on your children. I hope this is okay. So, Brother Andrew, how do we do all this? Before we get there, and I'm just going to run through these, and then we'll be done. Go to Romans chapter 14 real quick, but hold your place in Colossians. Aren't you thankful the Bible doesn't just tell you, hey, do this, and then it doesn't tell you how to do it? Amen? I'm thankful that it gives us clear instruction, and we don't even have to. I know I'm going to look at this verse in Romans real quick, but we don't have to leave Colossians chapter 3 to find out how to do what God's asked us to do. All right? Romans chapter 14, verse number 5. If you're there, say amen. Romans chapter 14, verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Make up your mind that you're going to do it for God, is what he's getting at. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto who? The Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. You know what that just said? If you don't give it to God, it's not worth anything. It means you don't care. You see that? If you don't regard it unto the Lord, you don't regard it. If you don't regard your relationship with your husband unto the Lord, you don't care about it. I know that's hard to hear. If you don't regard your relationship with your wife as you would want to please the Lord, then you don't care. You don't regard it. So I would never say that. Look what the Bible says here. He that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord. Amen. You ought to pray for your meal. For he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not. And giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. You're a child of God. You belong to him. You're of him. You need to please him. And you need to live every day to please him. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday night. You need to live every day to please him. And you belong to him. And if you don't, then it's meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. And if you don't do it unto the Lord, you're going to struggle in your home. You're going to struggle in your marriage. You're going to struggle with your children. You're going to struggle coming to church. It's going to be a chore to get to church. It's going to be a burden for you to homeschool. It's going to be a burden for you to submit to your husband. It's going to be a burden to love your wife. It's going to be a burden to obey your parents. Because you'll never be able to satisfy them the way that they need to be satisfied. You'll never be able to do it. You know who else you'll never satisfy? Yourself. You will never be pleased. You'll never be satisfied if that's your goal. It's your happiness. Because I'm telling you, they can't do enough to make you happy. They can't do enough to please you. But a lot of times, if they're both not right with God, then they're just competing with one another, and that is not healthy at all for a marriage. But if you go into it with one idea, and that's, I want to please the Lord. So my husband isn't pleased. Well, you let God deal with him. You please God. That goes with the whole thing. Go back to Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to run through these. I think we got the message across this morning. I pray we did. The Bible's not difficult to understand. And thankfully, in this passage, we have all these individuals, the wives, the husband, the children, the servants, the masters. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. But the answer on how to do this is found in this entire chapter. And I'm just going to run down through them and give you the verses. I'm not going to spend time on every one of these. I could, but I'm not going to this morning. The answer on how to do this. Would you like to know how to do it? This isn't difficult. On how to do it, first of all, it takes salvation. Verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. The very first thing, there's no way you're going to please the Lord if you're not saved. And I am afraid there are some church people, I don't know about in here. I believe everybody's saved. You say you are. If you say you've been born again. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you did that, that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died, buried, and rose again to save you. And you get saved by putting your faith that he gives you in him and what he did on the cross and asking him to save you. Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. For all have sinned. I'm one of those. And get saved. Amen. And most everybody in here, I've heard your testimony about that. But I'm telling you, if you're lost and you're not saved, there never was a time in your life. You said, I don't remember the date. You'll never forget where you were. You might not remember the exact date. I've heard people stand up and say, hey, I don't remember what day it was. Maybe they never wrote it down. But they'll tell you exactly where they were. Because you'll remember where you were the very moment you met the Creator of the heaven and earth. Amen. You'll know exactly where you were. I can tell you exactly where I was the day I got saved. You say, I don't remember where it was. My grandma told me, though. Are you willing to die with that? Are you willing to go up to heaven? Amen. Are you willing to go to the grave with my grandma or my mom told me? No. I know exactly where I was when I met God. But you know what? You cannot do any of this that we're preaching this morning heartily unto the Lord if you're not saved. Amen. And I'm afraid there's churches filled with people that are trying to live the Christian life and they're doing it lost and it's hard. Amen. It's difficult. Well, Jeff, how are we going to please the Lord if we don't even know him? So first of all, you have to be saved. Second of all, not only, number one, does it take salvation. Number two, it takes steadfastness. Look at verse number 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. If you're going to do it heartily unto the Lord and you're going to love your wife and submit to your husband and obey your parents and go to work and show up and do it for God, you have to have a steadfastness, a view of heaven, a view of what's coming. Hey, man, hey, he's coming back one day, and I'm thankful for that, amen. But you've got to have a steadfastness and almost tunnel vision on heaven and affections on things above and on pleasing God if you're going to do this. If your affections are on things on this earth, you won't be able to do this. If you're in love with you and you're in love with the entertainment of this world, and you're in love with big, more and more stuff, then you can't do this. How in the world are you going to love your wife the way you're supposed to when you love yourself so much that you give her no attention? you've got to have affection on things above. Amen? The recipe's right here for how to do this. You want to please the Lord in everything. You got to have a, set your affections. And there's preaching in every bit of this. I've got to move along or I'll be here forever. Number one, salvation. Number two, steadfastness. Number three, it's going to take sacrifice. Sacrifice what? Look at verse number three. For ye are dead. Isn't that encouraging? When you got saved, God considered you dead. Now you need to reckon yourself dead. Paul used a good old southern word. Amen? Reckon yourself dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuance, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Again, there's so much preaching in here. I'm going to move along. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. You know what he's telling them? Don't do the things that the wrath of God falls on lost people for doing. Do you want to please God in everything? Do you want to please God in the way you submit to your husband, in the way you love your wife, in the way you obey your parents? You're going to have to mortify this flesh. You're going to have to say this. What I want really doesn't matter. Amen. If it pleases God. Right. Our wants get in the way of a lot of things in our home. Right. Kids will lay in the floor and kick their feet. They're not allowed to do that in my home. That does not work. I never was allowed to do that. You know what I'm talking about? Throwing a fit? No. But you know, there's some adults that do that. How many times has a wife or a husband stomped out of the room and the kid's like, hey, bud, I got spanking for doing that. Why do you get to do it? Why do you get to walk out of the room and throw stuff? Amen? Why does daddy get to do it? You know what you're doing? You're provoking your children to anger and causing confusion. Why does daddy get to walk out throwing a fit? Why is it when daddy goes to work that mommy's at home throwing a fit? Amen? I said I wouldn't preach this. Look there in verse number 7. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Talking about the old man. Talking about the flesh. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Is that in your home? What do you need? You need sacrifice. That's why Paul said, I die daily. I'm going to walk to please the Lord. I'm going to do all things heartily as unto the Lord. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love my wife like I'm loving the Lord. I'm going to do it to please Him and submitting to my husband, obeying my parents. I'm going to go to work and do all these things. But the only way you do it is die every day. Amen. You get up and say, what I want really doesn't matter as long as God's pleased. And to those right now that are thinking this is a horrible life, if you do all these things, it's the best life you'll ever have. Amen. Who doesn't want peace and joy? Who doesn't want all those things in their home, in their marriage? I told somebody the other day that my wife and I laugh every single day. We've been married for almost 15 years and we laugh every day. 90% of the time it's at me. It is, and that's fine because I'm laughing too because I can't believe I said or did whatever I did. It's every don't we laugh? We laugh about every single day. Amen? We have a good time. God's way works. This isn't a brag on me. I'm nothing. I'm just telling you God's way works. Verse number 9, this would do really good for a marriage. Lie not one to another. Amen? I can't preach all this. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take salvation, steadfastness. It's going to take a sacrifice. If you're going to do this thing, this is the recipe for it. It's going to take selflessness. Selflessness. Look there in verse number 10. I'm losing some of you. And have put on the new man, which is renewed to the knowledge after the image of him that created him. All this whole chapter deals with this subject. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor circumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You want to talk about everybody being equal? Everybody's equal at the cross. Everybody's equal in Christ. It's not white man and black man and Asian man. Everybody is equal in Christ. Amen. We want inclusion and all that stuff. Get saved and get in church. And God will be just as good to you as He is everybody. Verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Look at all these things that He's asking you to put on every day. You know what it's going to take? Some selflessness. Verse number 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. What's the context of the chapter? Husbands, wives, children, people work, and doing everything to please the Lord. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. My husband did me wrong. Forgive him like Christ forgave you. Amen? And above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Not only that, you need to have sureness, confidence in Christ. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You need to have confidence that God's going to help you do this. Do you not want the peace of God? I know there's a lot in this passage, and I'm moving through here, but I'm telling you right now, the peace of God has to have free reign in your heart. Let the peace of God. You can prevent it. With your attitude and your actions, you can prevent this from happening. This is the recipe. Look at verse number 16. It's all right here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's not just Sunday morning. Get up every day and get in this book. It's all right here. The whole recipe's right here. And last of all, the last bit of instruction right before he goes into the wives submitting to their husband, the very last thing you need to have is sincerity. Be serious about this thing. Are you serious about wanting a home that pleases God? Maybe you like hell in the home. Maybe you like strife. I don't want that. The last thing, you need to be sincere. And whatsoever ye do, verse number 17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then immediately turns right around and says, all right, now I told you how to do all this. Now wives, submit to your husband. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Servants, obey your masters. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Man, isn't that nice that he gives you all the how to do all this? There's people that want a secret recipe to have a successful home. It's all right here. To have a good marriage. Let's all stand. Miss Sarah, would you come to the piano? I'll tell you what, let's not have piano this morning. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No piano. The very last verses of this passage, of this chapter, after it goes over all this list, knowing, verse number 24, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Not only will you have blessings right now in your home and in this church, but there will be a reward for you doing this. Verse number 25, though, ends with a warning. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Well, my last name is this. It don't matter. I go to White Oak Independent Baptist Church. That doesn't matter. There's no respect of persons. I know this was a hard message this morning, but if anybody would like to come, every head bowed, every eye closed, please, nobody looking around. We always want to give folks the opportunity to let the Holy Spirit, if He spoke to your heart. I know it wasn't easy this morning. Listen, if the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, would you come? I know you can get things right in the pew. I understand that, and praise the Lord for it. But sometimes the altar is a place of humbling. Sometimes you need to tell your flesh, nobody's looking, just me and God. Sometimes you need to tell your flesh, I'm going to humble you, sucker, and I'm going to go get on that altar. I'm going to lay myself on there, and I'm going to humble myself before you. Lord, would you help me in these areas? Is there anybody at all? There's a few that have come. Anybody else this morning? And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. The recipe's all there. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye see, serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done. There's no respect of persons. Heartily. Just remain with your head bows and eyes closed as there's some that's praying. Maybe you're praying right there where you're at. Don't allow pride in your home and pride in your marriage. Don't allow your pride to just absolutely wreak havoc. Give it to God. Give it to Him.